Good morning. My name is Jonathan Hamilton Daibo, and it is my pleasure today to be giving the message to the communities of Rosedale United Church and Metropolitan United Church. Although it is a recording and I'm not able to join you live, I am very honored to be with you today. As stated in Canada's Crowned Indigenous Relations and Northern Affairs website, June 21st is National Indigenous Peoples Day. This is a day for all Canadians to recognize and celebrate unique heritages, diverse cultures, and outstanding contributions of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. At a time where the focus should be on celebrating, we are starkly reminded of the unspoken history between Indigenous peoples and Canada. We look at the impacts of legislation that govern Indigenous peoples, as found in the Indian Act. We see the development of an educational system supported by government and church to civilize Indigenous peoples through the residential school system. And furthermore, in the news recently, CTV headline on May 28, 2021, remains of 215 children found buried at a formal residential school, First Nations says. This is followed by a disclaimer. Contains details some readers may find distressing. CNN, June 1st, 2021. Unthinkable discovery in Canada as remains of 215 children found buried near a residential school. As well, there's other investigations and many calls for the government to provide the resources to support the other searches in other places. This recent news has greatly impacted many in First Nations communities, Canada, and around the world. From this, there's been many feelings that have come out of this: anger, sadness, grief, disbelief. Many are left asking these following questions: why or how could this happen? As we've also seen with these feelings have been reactions. We have been reading about the incidents over at Ryerson University in which people have gathered to demonstrate and to pull down the statue of Ryerson. In Ganawage, a Mohawk community for where I'm from, the Roman Catholic Church was spray painted orange. The front doors are spray painted orange. And also there was a symbolic protest of 215 shoes laid in front of the church. And then more recently, there was a possible link of arson of the Anglican Church in Six Nations. And so we think about all these actions that are taking place and how our feelings are resulting in these type of activities to try to rectify or think about a situation. And I think this has left many feeling unsure, as I mentioned, disbelief. And so I like to refer back to Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, and I'm using the NIV. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. In your own ways, submit to him, and he will make your path right. I think these are wise words at a time, because with feelings, people are looking at ways to either lash out or try to rectify a situation that they just don't have any comprehension on. And sometimes this comprehension is again, going back to that key question, how could that happen? How could this happen? And I think it's something that we really need to think about as we try to comprehend this horrific event and these discoveries. We do need to acknowledge, though, that in many communities, maybe communities in your own or as individuals, that you have undertaken different activities to try to repair these relationships. But after seeing what's going on and hearing, the next question might be, what's next? Where do we go? And I want to bring us now a little to history. These issues of the residential school were brought forward in 1996 in an inquiry known as the Royal Commissions of Aboriginal People. Now, in this was a larger inquiry regarding what was going on with Indigenous peoples in Canada at the time. And in one of the issues that were being dealt with or spoken about was residential schools. It wasn't the full focus of that inquiry, but it was brought forward in there. And that was in 1996. What happened was that largely this report was ignored. Within the Indigenous community, it still remains very valuable and is something that many people look forward to. But largely, people may have heard of RCAP. They may have an understanding of it, or at least they acknowledge it's there, but really didn't fully comprehend what that inquiry was saying. And then we fast forward to 2015 and the release of the Truth and Reconciliation Final Report and Call to Action. And what is interesting about that in 2015 was the reactions at that time, the reactions from many people who were listening and hearing about these stories for the first time about residential schools and those survivors and what they encountered in the schooling system. And so for many, it was a time of shock and dismay. However, for many Indigenous people, this was always a reality. This was always there. Now we move ahead 6 years in the year 2021. And I just read those headlines talking about the children in Kamloops. And what's interesting is that many of the reactions right across Canada are the same. Shock, people asking, how could this happen? I don't understand this. It is horrifying. The thing that I find really interesting in all this was that the TRC did acknowledge this. The TRC itself had an entire chapter on the missing and unmarked burials. So if that was already put out there, the main question is, why are so many people shocked as if they're hearing about this for the first time? In the summary of the TRC, which was put out before the main report, but it was stated in there on page 8, too many Canadians know little or nothing about the deep historical roots of these conflicts. This lack of historical knowledge has serious consequences for First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people, and for Canada as a whole. It concludes by saying, history plays an important role in reconciliation. So when we talk about history, we have made some assumptions in the last 6 years at least that the awareness of these issues have been brought forward. They've been in the media. They're integrated into schooling now when we see things such as, and in churches, when we see land acknowledgments being used. However, what still I find shocking is that people are really shocked, as if this is the first time they've heard it. From my end, yes, I've had sadness. Yes, I've had some anger. However, there's a degree of maybe resignation. And that, again, is because this is something that many communities have been aware of. And so this isn't news. It is stunning when you still hear the number and you still think of the impacts. But what we have to think about is that how truly do we know our history? Do we understand these events that happened and how they impacted people? Because if we don't, if we do not understand that history, we may know about it, but if we don't truly understand the impacts, then what will happen is that each time we will have these shocks occur again and again. And what I mean by that is that over time, this issue will fade. When we look in the news, it is still in there, but it still doesn't have the spotlight that it once did because something new has come up. And now people are focusing on that. So what will happen over time is that this will fade away in the background and then will resurface greatly once new discoveries or something comes in that's related to residential schools. And again, people will be shocked one more time. So how do we move ahead with reconciliation if we're always in a stage of shock? If we're always in a stage of, we're always distressed because of it? Where does the reflection come in? Where does it come to a place where we are still disturbed by these discoveries, but we have enough knowledge now to make reflections, to think it through, and to really dive deep into what these issues are? And so this is something that we really need to think about when we talk about understanding history, understanding these relationships. And it goes back to what was said in that summary. History plays an important role in reconciliation. And a big reason for that is if we don't have an understanding, we will not be able to achieve reconciliation. So what does this all mean? So let's look at Mark 4, the passage that was read earlier, which talked about when Jesus and disciples were on a boat, and as they were crossing, a ferocious squall came up. The waves broke from the boat, and they were terrified. They thought they were going to be swamped. They didn't know what was going to happen. While Jesus was, you know, sleeping on a cushion, the disciples woke him up, and they're frantic. They're saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves, "Quiet and be still." Then he goes on to say to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Don't you have no faith?" And that is really interesting, because I think this is something that we really need to think about in all of this, in all our relations, because sometimes there's a lot of pain. And the things we've been reading about have been very hurtful and distressing to many. But despite all this, we need to trust God. Whatever storm we're encountering this time, personal storms, storms that are affecting our communities, that are affecting our country, affecting each other, we need to trust God. We have to hope that this discovery actually may ease the suffering of communities who've always been wondering about those missing, and that it may bring a degree of relief, although it's still hurtful, but it may bring relief that these children have been found, and it may make a difference to community or some members of that community. We have to put in hope that there is progress happening. So at times it may feel like things are falling apart and we're never going to move ahead. Things are happening. We see an awareness of history and how it is told that is growing. More people are becoming more aware. An example is at Victoria University last week, it was announced that they've renamed, after a lot of consultation with community members, Indigenous people, that they were renaming the residence that was named after Ryerson. There's also been other initiatives happening across the country in which are to address some of the things that have been lost for people going to residential school. And one of the things is the ability to speak languages, Indigenous languages. And so we're starting to see language revitalization happening in the high schools. There are languages that are being offered in university and within community as well. And people are given the opportunity to relearn what was lost. It may be difficult, though, to comprehend what has happened. And not just with this event about the found children, but also with today's communities and the things that they face. Substance abuse issues within their community, violence, racism, suicide, poverty. There are a lot of things that are still happening, but we still have to trust that this storm will be calmed. And by the calming of the storm, that a path will be provided for us to move ahead. We have found this word trust in so many different places in Scripture, and I'm only going to name a few here. In Jeremiah 17, verses 7 to 8, "Be blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust you." Psalm 28, 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him." There is an opportunity to learn about these narratives that have been suppressed for so long. Those stories, good and bad, must be told. This is the cause for celebration. But to do this, we need to be patient. We have to keep our hearts and minds open, and to understand that this will take time. This is not a short process. This is a long-term commitment. And so we need to remember that. And in closing, I do want to provide a quote that Reverend Alf Dumont wrote. And Alf is an alumni of Emmanuel College. And he's written, his newer book is called The Other Side of the River, From Church Pew to Sweat Lodge. And it is talking about his story. But he does open this up in his preface. And this is actually the words he is actually himself remembering that was given to him by an elder. "My way of looking at life is not your way of looking at life. The way I talk about life is not the way you talk about life. We must honor each other's way of looking at the world. We must honor each other's way of talking about the world." We do have to accept that there are going to be things that happen that are going to upset our own realities and how we think and perceive the world around us, and that these new narratives are going to shake it. But if we keep an open mind and that we respect one another, we will find some commonalities and we will be able to move ahead. Yawagowa, thank you.